On this episode of Stuck in Beta, we're talking about busted turntables and truck repairs.
Friendsgiving plans to fiery Hot Wheels.
This week, we're tasting Mike's Hot Honey Chips.
And debating the best Thanksgiving TV and movie episodes.
Before we blast off with Jason X.
It's time for Stuck in Beta. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stuck in Beta. I'm Greg.
Hey, everybody. I'm Josh.
And it's another show.
It is. Here we are. Back again.
Yeah. Good times. We are going to have a show today with our usual
segments. I'll just finish your sentences.
This is just stupid. I am so bad at intros.
I think you do fine.
I don't know how to do it. I welcome, and then I'm like, what the hell do I say? I don't know how to say it.
Too hard on yourself.
I'm too hard on myself. Sorry about that. So today, we're going to do our beer up front like we do. Today, we got one from Four Hands Brewing. They have made so many of these. This is volume 9 of their Voltron
series, I guess.
Yeah, series. Yeah. This is Four Hands with Second Shift Brewing and 7.0% ABV. And all these are IPAs. This is a hazy IPA with Nelson Savan Waiti and Necaron hops. Those are three hops I don't know of, but
I don't either.
If they're not Cascade or something like that, I'm kind of lost.
They're new to you.
They're new to me.
So yeah, we were talking before the show that this, like you said, is volume 9, and I didn't realize they were continuing this series. I knew initially when they started it that they were going to have a specific beer for each lion color. And I thought that ended like well over a year ago.
No.
And you're like, no, they're still making them. Now they're up to 9. So don't know how long it's going to last.
I know. And I was surprised. So I actually, up on my cabinet over there, I have all the cans except for 8. For some reason, I saw volume 9. This was a couple weeks ago. And I'm like, holy crap. Where is Volume 8? I haven't even seen that yet, so.
So anybody listening out there needs to find Greg, Volume 8.
Yeah, or it may actually still be at Four Hands.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Christmas is coming.
Even though it's 75 degrees.
Yes, it is.
Smells fruity.
It does smell fruity.
Citrusy.
Mm-hmm. It's hazy, like you said.
Yep.
It's cold. Let's have a drink.
Yeah. It's very, I'd say tropical.
Yeah.
I'd put this like a tropical IPA, actually.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's not as harsh as I expected it to be in the, you know, like, what'd you used to call it? Tongue raper? Is
that a tongue scraper?
Scraper.
Tongue raper.
Scraper.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not
that
harsh.
You don't want that either. That hurts too.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's good. It's good and cold.
Not bad. It's good.
your refrigerator is doing quite well now.
I know.
It was on the fritz there when it was, what was it? The freezer was frozen.
Yeah, it stopped blowing air to the fridge. Yeah. So
it's good and cold now.
Anyway, this, I feel, of all of them that I've only tried 8, I haven't tried all 9, you know. But this would be in my top 2 or 3 of these. It's one of the better ones. They're all IPAs that they've made for these, and they're all collaborations. And I feel this is definitely up there. I think it's I mean, what can you say about IPAs? This is more on the fruity, hazy line.
Mm-hmm.
Juicy, I guess they call it that sometimes too, juicy IPA.
Yep.
And I would say that's my style. That's my style IPA. That's my favorite.
Did they do any that were darker or like a red IPA or a dark IPA?
No, they've all been quite like this. Well, not like, I mean, they've all been in the piney to citrusy and
similar categories.
Yeah, some have been tongue scrapers.
I thought maybe initially whenever this was announced that they were going to try to make them look like the Lion colors. Now, I guess you can't really do blue or green, but...
I mean, food coloring, but...
Sure. You know.
Or, well, a lot of times they have done that with, like, just... Like, for red, they could use, like, beets, and it wouldn't change the flavor that much.
Oh.
But...
Yeah. I don't know. What do you rate it?
I think this is one of the better ones. I'll put this in an A-. It's a good IPA, not the top, but definitely top of the spectrum.
I'd go just a little bit lower. I'll go B+, just because I feel like it's just not average IPA, but it's just, you know, it's nothing too exciting. But yeah, it is interesting that they keep going back to this Voltron theme with it. I don't know exactly how it ties to the beer itself, but whatever.
I don't know. And that's another thing. We were talking earlier about this. They have that Universal owns the Voltron license, I guess, probably just in the U.S. I'm sure Japan, there's a different company that owns it. But it's crazy to me that this local St. Louis brewery has the license to use Voltron, you know. Mm-hmm. To me it was a huge brand, you know. That's when we were kids.
Yep.
That was, you know, everyone wanted that big Voltron thing, and now, but how long do they keep this license? Indefinitely, or until they stop making beers with Voltron on it? Or
did you have any Voltron when you were a kid?
No.
Really?
No, I didn't have any of them. I watched the TV show. I loved watching the TV show. I didn't notice when I was a kid, I didn't know it was a Japanese show that was dubbed over into English. I had no idea. I didn't notice that their mouths didn't always sync up, you know?
Mm.
Did you? I mean, was that a thing?
Oh, yeah,
that you knew?
I definitely noticed it. I always thought it was weird that their mouths would just be, like, open.
Oh, yeah.
And they would say multiple words. And But
I was just dumb, I guess.
So there were two main Voltron, I guess, toys. The one was the metal one, which was really cool.
Yeah.
And the other one was plastic and, like, bigger and kind of bulkier, where the action figures sat inside.
Yeah.
And it wasn't nearly the scale, because in the cartoon, the action figures were like tiny compared to the lion. But I had the one that was the one with the action figures, and I always wished that I had the other one that was metal, because it looked a lot more...
I think, did Tonka make that? Or I thought it was a big brand like that that made it, the metal version.
It was cool, but it all fit together, and the plastic one all fit together and made a guy too. But
see, I remember like there was also one that was smaller, maybe about 10 inches tall, and it wouldn't come apart. The lions wouldn't come apart.
Yeah,
or anything.
It just stayed as the
robot. And then do you remember how the series changed and then the toy changed, where it was cars as well?
Oh, really?
A bunch of cars would come together instead of the lions.
No, I didn't know that.
I think it was more than just five, too.
Huh. That wasn't a GoBots thing?
No, that was still Voltron, yeah.
Interesting. No, I didn't. And I remember one thing that was kind of weird about the series, and I thought about it as a kid, I thought it was strange, was when a blue lion? The guy, like, went off and did something else. Do you remember this? And then the princess became like the fifth member.
Yeah, but wasn't she a member too? She was pink though, right?
She was, but the guy, there was a guy originally in that lion, and for some, he did something else. I don't remember what he did. He
yellow,
left
green, black, red, and blue.
I thought he was in the blue lion, and he was maybe black in color because the guy who was in the black lion was red.
I remember Keith in the black lion.
Yeah.
There's Pidge, right?
And Lance was one of them.
Lance
might have been the one that left.
Or was Lance in the black lion?
Maybe. Maybe Keith was the one that left.
I don't know.
We're going deep here.
We're going deep. You're like, what the hell are they talking about? I thought this was a beer review.
Yeah.
No, anyway, so yeah, beer is good. This show, go back to it. I haven't watched any of the newer, there's been several iterations, and I don't know anything about them.
Yeah. Keith initially left to join the Blade of Marmora.
Of course.
But he later returned.
Ah.
Hmm.
Man, you know all the lore. See, you had the toy. You were more invested than I was.
I guess I was.
I know all the He-Man lore. I had all those toys, but
yeah, you did. I didn't have as many He-Man for sure. All right. Well, that's been good.
Yeah.
So, what have you been up to?
Well, the last weekend, I took Peter to the Monster Truck Show.
Yeah.
So it's the Hot Wheels Fire and Glow show, and we had a good time, but it's in like a hockey arena, so it's a smaller venue than what we're used to so this is different than Monster Jam. Monster Jam was at the Dome, you know, it's a football stadium. So would that be three times the size?
Probably.
You could not have the same like tracks and obstacle courses that you did at Monster Jam for this one, but it was still neat. They had like donut competitions where they do donuts, and I'm like, well, okay, how can you judge which is better for that? But then some of the things they jump as far as they could to see the length they could jump, and they had freestyle competitions, and they had motocross too. That was really neat watching them jump big ramps.
Oh, that's cool.
But Peter and I, our favorite thing was this big thing. Do you remember the Simpsons with Truckosaurus, where they go to the monster, where they almost get eaten by their car? They pull into the wrong entrance. They had something like that, and that was so cool. It would breathe fire out, and then it grabbed this car, and it literally kept chewing it and pulling it apart until the car was totally ripped in half. Which that was.
Oh, I didn't realize that. You showed me the video, and I thought maybe it was just like acting like it was.
Oh no, it was really tearing it apart.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it was pretty neat watching that. Like doors would fall off and stuff, and then the whole thing split in half. It that was neat.
Could you tell, was there an individual like driver or operator inside the vehicle, or was it remote control?
I'm pretty sure there was a driver inside. I mean, more or less, it's, you know, like a construction vehicle.
Oh yeah, sure, that makes sense.
And I mean, there could have been more than one operator in there though, like someone shooting the flames and stuff like that, you know.
Flame guy.
Well, I mean,
special effects guy.
For me, I have you ever tried to
of those? I know it's very challenging.
If you don't know, it's amazing how easy, when you watch construction workers just taking that scoop in, moving over or dumping, it is not that easy. It's coordination. And if you haven't done it before, you can get in a rhythm, but then I'm not like Gloria Estefan. It doesn't get me.
Move you.
Rhythm doesn't. So, but yeah, it was a fun time. Funny story. I told you this outside, but on the way there, Peter had to go pee really bad. And there was a long line of people waiting. Have you ever been on a long road trip and you couldn't get off the highway or something, and your kid had to pee?
Not pee, but I remember a puking incident. No, I did have. We did have a pee incident one time. Yeah, we did. He had to get out and go.
Yeah, because this happened. The same thing happened in the busiest traffic in Atlanta, which you can't get over or anywhere. So. Mm. Did the same thing in this situation where I took an empty cup and just, well, what last time I had my wife with me or me, one of us could actually hold it, but it was just me and him. So I had to hold it behind me. I go, just unbuckle and go, buddy. So good times.
You're feeling the cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't stop once I've started. It stings.
I'm almost it's almost filled and I'm still going. Grab another bottle. Hurry. Yeah, it was kind of like
that's funny.
He didn't fill the cup though.
That would have been impressive.
So yeah, good times.
That's cool. Yeah, while you were doing that, I was helping our daughter Lexi move. Moving's always so much fun, isn't it?
Said no one ever. But you know what I really like? No one's ever said that.
Yep. But we were able to get pretty much everything in one trip. We did it over 2 days, one trip on Friday, one trip on Saturday. And we did that before our Friendsgiving that we had. And man, you know, I've really come to appreciate this time of year. And then I know you're probably a little bit more on the festive side. Hell, we talk about this every week, like the things that we're doing to gear up for the holidays. But I really enjoyed our Friendsgiving get together with our friend group, and Tammy and Mike did a great job hosting.
Yeah,
it was
good times.
Making a lot of the food, and I had leftovers for days. They loaded us up, and we finished them off. Well, I guess it's been a few days ago now, but.
Yeah, I think Monday we just said, hey, let's just have all those leftovers we have for dinner. And then there was still enough for me to make a sandwich the next day.
Wow. Made
the
Moist maker.
Moist maker, yep.
Yeah, it was really cool. I really enjoyed that. And even though it was early in the month, well, Thanksgiving is very late this year.
Yeah.
It's almost at the end of the month. And we got started early and I thought it was cool. The ladies went on their little, ladies' night?
Shopping spree.
Downtown. And then downtown Festus.
Yeah.
And we watched the hockey game. Those guys hung out.
Blues lose the last 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Good
right.
times.
Just like the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, they didn't lose in the last 2 seconds. They tied it up, and then in overtime,
That's
two
true.
Minutes, they lost.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. What else?
Oh, man.
So I've been working on my truck the last couple of days. I told you a couple weeks ago that incident that I had where I had a little, hit a thing on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got all the parts and put that back together this week. And then I also worked on replacing my front shocks yesterday. Or I didn't work on it. I actually did it. And man, I gotta tell you, so my truck has like 185,000 miles on it, and I wasn't even sure if my front shocks really needed to be replaced, but I started to notice like some, like they call it like body sway, I think, where when you're driving, you go to make a turn, like the whole vehicle kind of like turns in the out, like if you're turning left, it'll like sway to the right because it's like you're basically your shocks and springs up front aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
So I was starting to note body roll. That's what it's called. Body roll. So you turn to the left and it wants to roll to the right and vice versa. So anyway, I changed those out yesterday and oh my gosh, what an amazing improvement.
Oh yeah.
It's like stiff. Like I'm driving a new car.
Nice.
I mean, I'm super excited about how it turned out. It's, And I think it's riding higher too. I think it had sunk like probably an inch or so.
Probably.
So that was a really nice improvement, and I had to replace my front grill and my front license plate holder from the thing I hit.
Did you like hammer your license plate back into
shape? I did. Yeah. I used a rubber mallet and like a soft surface and got it back in shape. But I filmed it all.
Oh yeah.
So it's gonna be the next video I release on our How to Fix a Workshop channel. And I think it's going to turn out okay. It's probably going to be a little bit on the longer side, maybe like 20 minutes or so.
I wonder if my shocks can use some or need replacing or whatever. I would think, man, my car's been at the shop so many times, my truck, that they would have noticed something and said, hey, yeah, you need this too.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It wasn't that hard. It was, they only cost me like, less than $100. And the first one was a little bit tricky because you got to figure out, like, I watched a couple videos, but you still have to figure out the process of like, what do I need to move out of the way and all that stuff. The second one was a snap. It was like 30 minutes.
So did you have shocks or struts?
I don't know exactly what the difference is, but mine have the shock absorber and then they're called coilover. So they actually have a coil spring that surrounds the shock, so it's all in one piece.
Because this goes back to when I had my Grand Prix. I did my biggest issue, it wasn't doing the work, because I replaced all that no problem. The biggest issue I had was loosening the factory bolt on it to hook it up. And I remember I went around to a couple shops going, I don't need you to install this. I just need you to use your torque wrench and loosen this for me, you know?
Yeah.
Because do you have a torque wrench or anything?
I do now, but I didn't use that. I didn't need it for this.
Because I remember that was my biggest issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure a lot of people come to that when working on cars, especially something you haven't, that's been rusted on, hit the weather and, you know.
One of the biggest things that I took for granted forever that I use a lot more now is like liquid wrench or some kind of lubricant to really spray it and let it soak down. Because I always used to think, how is it penetrating into where it needs to go to like loosen things up? Yeah. But it does. I don't know how. And that makes a world of difference.
Yeah. And you need to wait about 20 minutes or so. Yeah. It's not like you spray it on and give it a minute.
No.
You have to wait a while.
I agree.
And that's something that I never did when I was younger.
Same here.
And, man, I can't remember. I had something similar to that. And it literally, I let it sit for half hour or so and went back. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Imagine that.
Came right off.
Yeah. Hey, it does say wait at least 20 minutes on the can here.
Another thing that I see people use quite a bit now for those like rusted on, seized on bolts is heat. They'll squirt the stuff on there, let it sit, do its thing, and then apply heat. And I guess the heat maybe like makes things expand or contract or whatever, and things come right apart after that.
I know. I don't have like a heat gun or anything like that, but I know people use those to do that. Mm-hmm. They go, if you don't have that, you can throw a hair dryer on high. It does heat up. It won't be as hot, but it will work. Mm.
That's interesting.
Speaking of repairs, old turntable behind me, the quest continues.
Oh yeah.
So, So I guess this video that I'm making on fixing this is going to be a lot longer because it's me basically trying to figure out what the hell is the problem.
It's like a trial and error kind of thing.
Really? Like. I feel that we were just talking about this last episode, how we're almost self-conscious when we shoot videos about showing our mistakes and stuff, but this is, it's mistakes / troubleshooting, to be honest, because
that's true.
A lot of this, so I've cleaned it up, got a new amp. Now now I was getting the sound from the turntable was real distorted. You know?
Man, that hurt my ears. So
it was really loud and overmodulated. So I got like this knob, like $7. I was able to adjust, and it works for turning it up and down. It doesn't, it adjusts the volume fine, but it doesn't adjust that overmodulation. I tried everything I could. It doesn't fix that. So I found out that the needle I, or the actual arm I have is ceramic, and that requires a certain kind of amp that it's basically a line in, and it doesn't adjust any of your channels or anything like that. It just, it, you plug it into your turntable, it amps it up without messing with any of the bass or the treble, which I guess what a regular amp would do. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I ordered one from eBay. It should be here next Wednesday, and hopefully that'll be the end of it and it works. If not, I'm kind of done, you know.
Man, I kind of look at this as a opportunity for you. You're becoming quite the expert on how to diagnose and repair an old turntable.
Yeah, I guess. I'm kind of doing... So there's two ways to fix it. You can fix the amp that's actually inside this old machine.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can get an external one, which is really the easier way, because a lot of components, you got to solder and do that on the inside. And I don't have enough know-how to fix that part of it. So hoping this next step works.
Hmm.
If not, I did find out that it does sound great. I have my old my other turntable hooked to it, and it does sound good using that. So
the turntable that's only 40 years old.
Yeah, it's from the 90s. It's
you said 80s the other day.
No, I think it's like 95, 96.
That's it's still 30 years old.
30 years old, okay? But that sounds good plugged into these speakers. So,
Yeah, that's cool. I was actually, I got a catalog from Crutchfield today. Do you get those?
Yeah.
And I was thumbing through that, and I looked, and they had the turntables, and the ones, I know there's cheaper ones than this, but they had the four that they had in their catalog were, I think the cheapest one was $4.99.
Oh, yeah.
And the most expensive one was like, it was some kind of like collaboration with Fender, and it was like $3,500.
Oh, my gosh.
Man. For a turn, it's just mind-blowing to me that, you know, a few years ago, you couldn't even buy a turntable, really.
No.
And people probably couldn't give them away. And just getting the physical media or whatever, the records was, they probably were sent to landfills for the most part.
I thought I heard, was it last year or the year before, that vinyl sales have actually surpassed CD sales for the first time since like the 80s.
Huh.
And I can understand. I mean, who buys CDs anymore?
Yeah.
And I have to sneeze.
Oh God. Here we go, folks. Greg is known for his multiple sneezes. You must have held back on that one.
No, I'm all right. Sorry. Excuse me.
So yeah, CDs. That's probably there. Yeah, I'm thinking of like the younger generation. The millennials, and then the Gen Z.
Yeah,
they're probably not too interested in CDs, but they are interested in vinyl
and cassettes.
Really?
Yeah,
cassettes.
Oh, I don't know why
they're garbage.
I would say that too. Those, I mean, the more you play those, the worse they get.
Yeah, and just getting the cassette player, like, you have one over there, don't you?
I have one, but So yeah, that stopped working. It's a Techniques, and it's a good dual cassette player, but it doesn't seem to work anymore. So
yeah, those cassettes, they always had that weird sound, especially as they were getting worn out.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a record player in that what do you call them? What's the proper terminology? Turntable?
Turntable.
I saw one in that Crutchfield ad that actually took your records and was able to digitize them
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. My parents have one, and they've never opened it. It's in a box in their office. I'm like, well, opening this.
Weird.
So that would be great for, like, a lot of... I have some albums there that are just... A lot of punk albums and alternative out that were... They only release certain songs or whatever on vinyl, but it's very rare that you can't find it already, you know, as
yeah,
a digital format. True. Now, what I loved... Do you remember those... I saw one at Goodwill the other day where I think it held 300 CDs.
Gosh.
Remember those little...
yeah.
I messed around with... I was like, I'm going to get this. This thing is awesome. Because I've got so many CDs. I would love to pop like a bunch of them
yeah,
in there.
That'd actually be pretty cool.
And just hit shuffle. I think that'd be awesome. But I couldn't get it to eject. It like had so many... Something was wrong with it, and I didn't have enough faith to... make the purchase. But if I ever see one of those for a good price, I would get that.
Some of your CDs, you'd probably play them and you'd be like, oh, I haven't listened to this in 30 years.
Exactly. I know I have a lot of those. And because I think my last count was like 800 and something that I had.
Oh my God. Yeah. I almost spit out my beer.
Yeah.
I had no idea you had that many.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I have a lot of CDs.
Oh my gosh.
Because remember, I had that big, it holds 500 CDs. Well, I ran out of room.
I'm actually surprised you haven't put them on display in here somewhere. That wall maybe would be...
I don't have a player, though. That's the thing. If I had a player, then, hey, I could pull them out. And
yeah. Speaking of this room, and obviously our... viewers can't, well, they can, if our viewers can see it if they're watching us on YouTube, but for those that are listening, it's all nostalgia stuff from like the 80s and 90s. But I saw this video, and I meant to share it with you the other day, of this couple that were putting together what they were calling a 90s nook.
A 90s nook?
I don't know if that's a like a common type thing among like millennials. But this couple, the guy was really into Sega Dreamcast, is that right?
Yeah, 99.
And he had one, but he needed a CRT to get it to like show
right
properly or whatever. So they put together this little spot in their living room that was separate from like the, you know, the modern stuff, where he had his own little, like you have, a little entertainment center. He had his little CRT. They got like it was like a 25 inch or something. It wasn't huge.
25 inch. Is that 36, I think?
And I think he had Dreamcast and then GameCube is what he had.
I'd love to have a Dreamcast, but that was something I never played. So it's one of those I don't have the same nostalgia for. So
yeah. But your GameCube, we played the crap out of that back in the early 2000s.
GameCube and PlayStation 1. We played a lot of that. Grind yes, we Session, we
yeah.
played that for days.
Yep, good times.
But I had the PS3 hooked up here because you could play all the PS1 games. And so I have that and the PS2. You don't need... If I had the backwards compatible PS3, I could play all three of them, but...
Mm-hmm.
But there you go.
Haven't found that one yet, huh?
No. Well, not for cheap. All right. Let's snack it up. Oh, I got low battery here. Cashews, almonds, macadamia nuts, lilac, pecans too. Pistachios. Lives up to know the tricks. Must be a politics. are you familiar with Mike's Hot Honey?
I am not.
You are not. Well, so I have some in my pantry. I use it on pizza from time to time. It's really good. It's a spicy honey.
Okay. I've heard the term hot honey is like a thing nowadays. It's like
Mike's is like the go-to. I don't know any other brand. Mm. Now, there may be, but so today we have this brand, Boulder Canyon.
Yep.
So I've never really heard of them. They use avocado oil, which apparently is good for you. It's not using the seed oil, so probably this is somewhat good for you as far as chips go.
Uh-huh.
And it's got Mike's Hot Honey infused in it, so...
Sounds good.
There you go. Yeah.
And so the hot honey is just it's just like honey?
It's honey. It's got like peppers and stuff in it.
Okay. So is it red in color like it shows on the bag here?
No, it's got little speckles in it.
Oh.
But I was told, hey, try this on pizza. I'm like, that's pretty good. So I'd pull it out and try it. Whenever we have pizza, I'll put it on pizza. Hmm. It's pretty good.
Hmm. Oh, I like that. I definitely taste the honey flavor and the little bit of spiciness. That's really good. Where did you pick these up?
At the local grocery store, Schnucks. These are pretty good.
Really good.
The first chip I had, I didn't get a lot of flavor, but the next one I did, I guess it's like any chips that have the flavors on it. Some are coated more than others. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you got the spicy and sweet together. Kind of represents what it is.
It's pretty good. I really like these a lot.
Do you really?
Yeah. Man, look how empty that bag is.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's like maybe 25% full.
Well, they used to say some chips may settle at the bottom or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if it still says that.
Man, they get a little zing on the tongue.
Yeah.
A little heat to them.
So if you ever want to try... here we go. We use only select ingredients to craft our kettle style. We partnered with Mike's Hot Honey to bring a sweet, spicy kick that elevates our classic crunch to a whole new level of flavor. Experience a bold combination of sweet heat with every bite. So there you go. An avocado oil, which is supposed to be better for you than the seed oils, apparently. I always hear that.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is my favorite snack that we've had.
No kidding.
Since we've rebooted back in August.
Really?
Yeah, these are really good.
I'd say they're good. I wouldn't say they're, well, maybe they are the best snack. I don't know. I'd have to go back and remember what we actually ate. But they are pretty good. I would recommend these.
Yeah. But they're probably the most obnoxious food we could be sampling.
I know.
On a microphone.
I'm so every time I'm self conscious when eating these things because they're so loud too. They're very crunchy.
You're trying to move the microphone like a foot away from me. And
they're
still
they're a thicker chip too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Oh, kettle style potato chips, and they're the ridges too. Mm-hmm. Usually the kettle aren't ridges,
right?
But yeah,
very good. Highly recommend.
Well, there you go. So, what do we have now? Do you want to do a top five?
Let's give it a try before your battery dies.
We don't even really know what we're doing, so
we're just gonna shoot from the hip.
Let's do it.
If anyone would like to join our crew and be our our producer and engineer, let us
Why
know.
Can't I find the damn the top 10 intro?
I don't know. Didn't we used to have that?
All right.
Well, you found it as I was talking.
Was that it?
Yeah, that was it. Didn't we used to have one? It was like dun 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 or was that tech? Was that the tech segment?
Oh, this.
Yes. What's that one for?
Pop culture.
Pop culture. Oh. I should know this. We really need a beer 30.
No, we used to have the burp, but yeah, we don't have a beer 30. I think I've made a couple. You ever use one of those AI apps to make your own music?
No.
With, is it Sono?
Is that what you used for any of these? Or these were prior to AI?
No, these are, yeah.
Because we've been doing this show for nearly 10 years, Greg. Well, except for that 5-year hiatus.
Yeah. I'm pulling this up now, but yeah, this is the one where you can make, you could tell it, make me a song about this. And
oh, okay. I saw this little clip the other day where there's like AI music getting created, like in certain genres, like country.
Yeah.
And it's like climbing the charts, but people are in an outrage because, you know, it's AI.
A little new metal. Oh, that's when we were going to name the show Cheese Popsicle for a while. And
So you just put in some basic information and it creates a song.
And it creates a song, huh. Yeah. And I think you actually have to pay to be able to use it on a podcast or anything. Oh. So there's that too. So
if you'd like to support us.
And we can bring you AI songs, apparently. Yeah. So top five this week. I don't know how much longer we have before Thanksgiving when this comes out, because I know I have a trip, and I don't know how the Thanksgiving week goes, so this may be the episode before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
We'll see. There may be another one, but we can do it anyway. So our top five, I think we're going to go back and forth because none of us could think of that many.
No. And hopefully, if we're going to have the same, so we're going to not get to five.
Should we do a mix of Thanksgiving and, movie and TV?
Sure.
Okay. Movie and TV, Thanksgiving themed.
Yep.
There you go.
Shows. Whatever. Content.
Yeah. So, what do you got? You want to start with number one? We know what number one's going to be, right?
Ooh. the one with the three modes of transportation.
Yeah. Of course.
Okay, so I'll start higher than that. Then a movie that I usually watch. I don't know. I wouldn't say I watch it every year, but I've actually been wanting to watch it now, like this year, is Dutch.
Yeah.
I really like that movie a lot. Ed O'Neill and a very young, what is his name? Ethan?
Embry?
Embry, yeah. Which is so funny to me because, I mean, I know Ed O'Neill is probably like getting close to 80 now, but he always seems kind of old no matter what role he's been in, you know, Married with Children and everything. But I think that movie is great. He's got a great character, and Ethan Embry's probably like, what, maybe like 14 or something like that at the time.
Oh, probably, yeah.
And he's like, you know, he's a big guy as he grew up and everything. But I don't know. I like that movie a lot. It's hilarious, kind of like that road trip of father and son, but it's kind of like stepdad and son, I guess is technically what they are.
Let me give you the description. To get to know his girlfriend's son, a working class good guy volunteers to pick him up from his prep school, only to learn that he isn't the nicest young man.
Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't. He was a jerk.
He does. And Ed O'Neill does a lot of the tough love type things too. Like, yep. you know, he knows he's a spoiled brat, so mm-hmm. he's, you know, like, you know, pick up your own crap and do, you know.
Yeah, and the dad was a total, like, douchey guy.
Yeah.
In the movie. The mom was decent, but, yeah, the dad was crappy. Yeah, it's a good movie. And it's all about, like, getting him back from his school
for Thanksgiving.
In time for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Another John Hughes movie.
So, they're all great.
Yep. I have no idea what to put next. So I'm going to just, I don't know if you know that it may not be both of our favorites or whatever, but Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, I think that's a fun one because, the actual meal they eat on there is not Thanksgiving food. Because Charlie Brown, so what happens is Peppermint Patty invites herself over for Thanksgiving to Charlie Brown's, and he's like, what the, you know, why, and she's like, I'll bring everyone else. That's okay, right? Right? I'm going to bring them all over. So in him trying to be popular is like, yeah, okay. And then he's like, what am I going to do? I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to do any of this. Oh, Snoopy helps him. He's like, all I could make is toast. So he literally makes toast, and Snoopy finishes the rest. So he has, like, toast with a pile of jelly beans, pretzels, popcorn, and the side has hot fudge sundae. So that's what they have as their Thanksgiving meal.
I need to watch that.
And it's a fun thing if you have small kids to recreate that meal.
Oh, yeah.
And Molly and I have talked about doing that. And I can't remember if we kind of did that last year, but we really need to do that. I think that's a fun thing to do because it's all sweet, you know, except for the toast. I mean, yeah.
So let's see. There's definitely in the Charlie Brown specials, there's Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas, right? Is there any others?
I think there's an Easter one.
Oh, okay.
But those are the Halloween and the Christmas are the two.
That's what I was
big
gonna
ones.
Say.
Thanksgiving isn't one of the more popular ones, but
yeah, I need to watch that, I guess. I'm sure I saw it as a kid, but I don't think I've seen it as an adult.
It's not, I wouldn't say it's, you know, watching it with kids, yeah, but it's not like we got to watch this, hon. Yeah. Huh. Why you sound like that?
I do whenever I'm trying to flip through the channels. I would say for me going, you know, sticking with the specials. Well, I guess this isn't a special, but a sitcom. And Friends always did a great job with their Thanksgiving specials. And I think of, you know, two. I'm pretty sure they're separate episodes, but two that I really remember. One is the football. That may have been the very first Friends episode that I've ever watched back in the 90s. I remember, for whatever reason, that being like my introduction to the show Friends. If I saw anything before that, maybe I just didn't care.
And that's a good introduction too. That really is.
The whole scene where they're, you know, they're going back and forth with in the football game there's, I think, the guy, I can't remember who the teams are, but I remember at one point, like, to, like, distract the other team, Phoebe, like, flashes Chandler.
Yeah. Yep.
I always thought that was awesome. And then there's another episode, it's got to be a different year, where Joey gets the turkey stuck on his head.
Yeah, yep.
And he's, like, shaking and doing a dance, and they can't get it off his head. I don't know. It's stupid, but it's just, it's funny. It's hilarious.
So I can't remember if this was one of those as well. There was the one where she had to make three different types of potatoes, and like they get back. I can't remember where they were. I thought that one was that the underdog balloon or one of the balloons from the Macy's float flew off and they had to go find it, or they were going to go look for it, but then they got locked out.
Okay.
And then all the whole Thanksgiving was ruined.
Oh, yeah.
And then at the end, you go, shall I do the cart? Chandler goes, "Shall I carve?" And he's cutting grilled cheese.
I don't remember that one as well. I need to go back and refresh. But as you were talking about that one, was
she goes, "Potatoes are ruined. Potatoes are ruined. Potatoes are ruined."
Wasn't there another one where they were? It was. I guess it was. Rachel had to make one of the side dishes.
Oh, the dessert. And it was trifle. Yeah,
the trifle. Oh, and we. Totally forgot about the moist maker came from.
Oh, yeah.
Friends.
The moist maker.
Man, Friends is like the best.
They do have
show
a lot of Thanksgiving.
For Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You've never watched this show, but the second one that does, another one that does Thanksgiving good is Bob's Burgers. I know you've never watched it.
I haven't. Need to. Just
but
never
there is, I think there's like 8 or 9 Thanksgiving episodes.
Oh, wow.
Bob, that's his holiday. He loves cooking, so
yeah.
And he's what Molly would describe me as in the kitchen, that I'm kind of a, I guess I'm a jerk, I guess. I don't know.
Oh.
That's what she says.
Huh.
You're doing that wrong.
Move.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That would make sense for me, but one of my favorite of those is that Bob keeps he's staying up late to get the turkey all brined and all that, but for some reason he keeps his turkey, after it's in the fridge being brined, he finds it the next morning in the toilet. And he's like pissed. He's like, "Now I gotta go get a new turkey." So he goes to the deli counter and gets a new turkey, and the guy behind the deli is like, "Hey, it's you again. Need a new turkey, huh?" And then every time, this happens like 4 or 5 times where he wakes up and he's like, "Who's keeps throwing in the, you know, in the toilet?" And when he goes to the guy at the counter's like, he goes, "I know what you're doing. I've just got out of a relationship though. Should we do this?" Or whatever. It's like, he goes, I don't know. Should we?" And he's like, "Is no, man, you're way out of my league."
So he thinks he's coming to just,
yeah, he thinks he's coming to hit on him. Yeah. That's the reason. Huh. But
I wonder if there's a way to just search up Bob's Burgers Thanksgiving to.
Oh,
just,
you will find a ton.
So
yeah.
Just to watch those specifically to as an introduction.
Yeah, some of them are better than others. There's one where Gene has food poisoning and he can't eat Thanksgiving, so they're all outside the bathroom eating while he's in there with diarrhea. So,
gross.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it's a good Thanksgiving. Lots to choose from there.
Well, that's 4 that we've mentioned, right? So if we go with our number 1, I don't know. It's got to be
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah,
I mean, we watch it every year. I think it's the day before Thanksgiving? We watch it, or the night before. That's kind of our tradition.
Yeah, it's a great movie. That, I mean, everything about that movie is just, you know, nostalgic. I like that. It has the scene that is filmed right outside or in St. Louis that's right outside the airport.
The part where he's pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, did that movie get an R rating because of that scene?
It's got to be. Because
I think it was.
The thing is, the movie is pretty PG. It, like, you can watch it with your kids and it's a good, there's not really anything filthy about it. Not until that scene where he uses the F word about 30 times in a row. Yeah. Is there, like, anything filthy about it?
Yeah.
Which is, that's the one thing about that movie I'm like, you know, even though I kind of find that funny because he's so pissed off, and Lambert, we've all been pissed off at Lambert before, but like, if they had that just cut out, then they could have, you know, had so many more people watching it, but. I'm sure.
I remember early on the scene whenever they're in the bed and the together, they wake up in the morning and talking about like how cold it was in the room or something like that. And he said, was it John Candy and
Steve Martin,
Steve Martin's something along the lines of like, yeah, my hands have been in between these two pillows. It's like, those aren't pillows. Yeah.
Why did you just kiss me on the ear? He goes, no, where's your other hand? Yeah. Between these two pillows. And then as soon as they get up, they're like, how about them Bears?
Like trying to be like manly men.
Yeah.
That was funny. It was a good movie. I gotta watch it again.
One interesting thing, what is the every time you go away, you take a piece of me with you.
Yeah, the song.
So that song was by Paul Young. However, he was told by his record label that he shouldn't allow it to be used. And they use like a cover version of it.
Oh.
And it's still decent, but it's not the original song. And I think Paul Young has said many times, like, because I don't know why I would love to be in that movie. I hate that I wasn't put in that movie. Oh. But that's at the very end of the movie.
Huh. That sucks.
Yeah, so there you go.
It's a good one. Well, so what else you been watching? We got a couple minutes here.
Oh, man. I have been watching. You're a fan of Breaking Bad, right?
Yes.
Did you watch the Better Call Saul, too? You didn't watch that one.
No, I didn't. Okay. I watched, like, season one.
You got to watch that at some point. That's a great show, too.
Real quick, speaking of that, I just watched Nobody, too.
Oh, yeah?
The other night. That's a good movie.
I haven't seen the second one yet. Is that one good?
Yeah, I thought it was good. It was fun.
I liked the first one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Vince Gilligan, who did those two shows, put out a show called Pluribus. It is very, like, so you expect, you're like, oh, this is going to be another drama that's kind of, you know, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul type. It's not in that universe. It's more, I would say, Twilight Zone-like.
Okay.
It's one of those, I am really enjoying it. Episode 3 came out today. I already watched it. It was really good. It's hard to even explain it without spoiling it, because there's a big kind of twist that happens in the first episode that you're like, what the heck is going on? And I can't really say anything about it until you see it. So you gotta watch
I gotta
this
watch
with me.
Pluribus, huh?
You gotta watch it. It's got what's her name? See
where can I find it? Plex.
Apple TV. Why did I say Apple?
Apple?
It's on the Apple TV, Josh. Is it Rhea Seehorn?
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, Rhea Seehorn. She was on Better Call Saul.
Okay.
She's a big character in that. She's the main character on this. It is really kind of a bizarre thing, and I've really enjoyed it. Another show I brought up last week, but The Chair Company is awesome. Yeah, I love that show. Have you watched any of that?
No, you mentioned it. So there's got to be, what, only like two episodes left or something?
I think
like that?
So. And this last episode is the most effed up episode I've ever seen in my life of anything.
I need to remember these conversations whenever I leave here, so I go home and find out where to see these shows.
This is HBO, and it goes HBO at the man. You're like, I'm definitely watching an HBO show at the end of this show, but it's one of those you're like, am I seeing what I'm seeing? Oh my gosh! So it's That's one I want to talk to you about too. Cause,
all right, I got some
but
homework.
But it's so. I mean, I don't know if you like either show, but try them out.
All right. I have been watching. Well, I've talked about how we started in around Halloween time. We started watching all the Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And then we moved on to Nightmare on Elm Street. But I did the one I could not get my wife to even want to entertain watching for Friday the 13th was Jason X. And I finally sat down one day and I'm like, I'm going to watch this by myself. And I got to say, not that bad of a movie. Like, I saw some clips and some people giving reviews where they were just like mentioning how that was like the absolute worst movie in the franchise and all of that sort of thing.
It takes a shift. It does take a shift.
It does, but I felt like from a creative standpoint, that may have been the best written movie across the entire whatever.
Across the entire franchise?
Yeah, because
really?
It took a lot to like come up with how the how he, you know, as a whatever monster, human, whatever, got into space 440 years in the future.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I thought it was like going into it, I thought it was going to be like absolute garbage. And like there was a lot, there had to be like a pretty decent sized budget for that movie because there was a lot of like futuristic stuff happening. And then I thought the storyline, like, it kind of, you know, from a science fiction standpoint, it kind of went well. Like, the story is pretty good.
If I remember it correctly, it's been a while since I've seen it, but isn't it, it's very similar to, like, Alien, where they're on the ship, and there's, well, instead of an alien present on
yeah.
the ship, it's Jason.
Well, yeah, and that's what it gets to. But I mean, just the storyline of how they got to that point, I
right.
thought was pretty good because they were trying to cryogenically freeze him, thinking that that was the only way to contain him because and it was kind of a little bit like, I don't know if meta is the right word to use here, but it was like they knew that they couldn't kill him. And so instead of trying to kill him and like do away, they were trying to cryogenically freeze him. And then also, they wanted to study, like, how is it that he has been able to get shot and cut up and hung and all these things and, like, basically regenerate? So it was kind of like looking at past versions of
so the scientists movie. Trying to find out what they can learn from this
right.
to make
so. So they didn't want to, like, destroy him, but
right.
they wanted to, like, contain him. And then, you know, something happened, and then he got cryogenically frozen, and then the lab had an issue, and then it was discovered later on whenever Earth One, which is what they called it, basically ceased to exist, and there was like explorers coming to find, and that this cryogenic lab was still had, like, you know, I guess backup generators or whatever, so it was still running. Anyway, how he got to space was, I thought that part was kind of interesting, and then when he got into space on the ship, it just turned into like a very similar, like, Friday the 13th thing where all these people on the ship were all young people. They were, you know, like, but it was a much, much larger cast. And they had, you know, all the hot young girls who had to take their shirts off.
Of course. Boobs in space.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just, it was one thing that was kind of interesting was what there was this shot. So this was 2001. And there was a scene where Jason enters the room or whatever, the area, and he sees these two people, and he, like, kills one, and he slices the other one. He, like, slices him, like, across from the shoulder down. And then the guy, like, kind of turns, and he goes, "What the heck is going on?" You know, like, I don't know, he says something like that to the other person. And then you realize, like, it the scene, like, evaporates or whatever. So it was all, like, not AI, but, like, art. I mean, like, it was all artificial. Like, they were in a virtual reality.
Oh.
Which was virtual reality. Like, that couldn't have been, well, you know, known back in the early, like, in 2001.
Well, yeah, it was around, but it wasn't.
Hmm. What they were doing was they were doing, like, a simulated, like, they were doing, like, a simulated fight scene where they were trying to, I guess, train in this virtual reality. And then you know, as the guys were like, oh, okay, shut it down. I don't know. I thought 25 years ago, that's pretty cool that they, I don't know. So anyway, I thought that movie wasn't that bad.
So a glowing review of Jason X.
I wouldn't say glowing review.
His mask is really weird in that one too.
It starts off normal. And then that was the other thing.
It's like fused on or something. I forget.
Yeah. So they, I mean, that was kind of cool. One of the technologies in the future was that if you got injured, they laid you on this, like, basically this table. And there was, like, this stuff that came up and, like, repaired your body. So what ended up happening was they killed him. They, like, actually blew his head off with this, like, gun or whatever. And I know this sounds, like, absolutely ridiculous as I'm saying it. But he falls into this area where the regeneration stuff is putting him back together.
Oh, I see.
And so he becomes like a better, stronger version of what he was. So that's when the fused on mask thing appeared. It was only like the last 5 minutes of the movie. I don't know. I thought it was good. I thought it was, if you look at it, for me, it was kind of like Starship Troopers.
Yeah. That's a good movie.
It was just that kind of like science fiction.
Yeah.
It wasn't scary. It's not a horror movie. I mean, yeah, I could call it a slasher, but it's more like a, yeah, one of those type of movies like Starship Troopers.
It's definitely been a while since I've seen it. So I guess I'll have to watch that again.
You have your own homework to do.
Yeah. So, now you've watched Being Eddie. I saw the other day Eddie Murphy was going around on the talk shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I haven't seen this yet. Have you've watched
it? Yeah, I watched the majority of it. We went to bed
Is it a series or a, no, just the like one a documentary?
Documentary, yeah. It's like an hour and 40 minutes long, but it's basically like him and just talking through his life, which I don't really know all that much about Eddie Murphy. And I mean, I obviously knew that he was on Saturday Night Live, but I didn't know that he was like 18 whenever he joined the cast, and he was right out of high school.
Wow, he's that young?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And the whole like history of how he got into his stand-up, and then he had the music career.
Oh, I remember. My girl likes to party all the time,
That's a great song.
That's a good song.
And you know, just his movie career, and it's really good. And he talks about how like all this crap was around him all the time, but he never got into like any kind of drugs or anything like that. And it wasn't until he made a comment like, I never even smoked a joint until I was 30 years old.
Oh, really?
And he's like, everybody was doing coke all the time around me. I never wanted to touch the stuff. I didn't have any interest in it. So he was like pretty straight edge. I mean, he said, I never drank. I never smoked cigarettes. I didn't do any of that stuff.
Huh.
And I thought that was pretty interesting. But some of the things that they say that, like, there was, I don't know, Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle and a lot of those, like, black comics, you know, that came along after him, credit him for being, you know, their inspiration.
Yeah, they always credit, you know, he's hear credit from Richard Pryor or Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. And so Richard Pryor was earlier, and that was like a big part of the story too. And then Eddie Murphy came, but Eddie Murphy did things that Richard Pryor wasn't able to do, like be a lead actor in a movie, and which was 48 Hours. And then he
Beverly Hills Cop.
Then that came after that. But 48 Hours was like all of a sudden all these like And I've seen this before, but I never really knew what the connection was. Apparently, like, all the A-list celebrities that were, like, older and white really took notice of him from 48 Hours because he was such a big star, you know, and a young black guy, that they all started inviting him to parties and stuff. So you see, like, Frank Sinatra and, like, all those guys whenever they're, like, I don't know, 60, 70 years old, and he's, like, 20, 21.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's – so – it's a weird like cutover spot where in history where, you know, like Hollywood was I'm wearing a Hollywood t-shirt. Hollywood was very much like the old, you know, the old timers.
Yeah.
And then it started to migrate to like the younger generation.
Right. Huh.
It's worth watching.
Interesting.
He's funny. He's an interesting guy.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out. So all right, man. Well, I think we've done it.
We have. Again, yet again.
We've done it again.
We've gone over an hour.
Well, thanks. Thanks for joining us for another episode. And you know where to find us. You're listening right now. So
like, subscribe, share with your friends.
That's true. We'll see you next time.